The scripture from this morning comes from the book of Luke, chapter 11, verses 1 through 13. He was praying in a certain place, and after he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples." He said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins. For we ourselves forgive everyone indebted to us, and do not bring us to that time of trial.' And he said to them, 'Suppose one of you has a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say to him, "Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, for a friend of mine has arrived, and I have nothing to set before him." And he answers from within, "Do not bother me. The door has already been locked, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything." I tell you, even though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, at least because of his persistence, he will get up and give him whatever he needs. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given you. Search, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened for you. For everyone who asks receives, and everyone who searches finds. And for everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. Is there anyone among you who, if your friend asks for a fish, give a snake instead of a fish? Or if the child asks for an egg, will give you a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, and how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
You may be seated. Have you ever taught a child how to pray? If you haven't, just a word of advice. Just be prepared to spend some time, to stay a minute. Because when children pray, and some of y'all that have ever prayed with children, children's ministry volunteers, Sunday school teachers, y'all could probably testify, they can cover a lot of ground. These little prayer warriors, man, the things of their heart that they are concerned of, just desperately seeking out, knowing that God is concerned about their best friend's frog as well. They will pray for pets, they will pray for siblings, they will pray for blankets, they will pray for the shoes that they're going to wear tomorrow, they will pray for the weather tomorrow, they will pray for everything that pops into their mind. And if you're lucky, they might pray for you. And those are the best ones. Because, again, I don't know all the answers about prayer, but I do have a feeling sometimes that kids' prayers sometimes get to heaven a little bit faster. They don't have as much weighing them down. But you think about teaching somebody to pray. What's that look like? You think about who taught you how to pray. What were some of those first examples, or what are some of those first models or moments when you first learned how to pray? How many of y'all learned or memorized a prayer? Maybe it had some rhyming words in it. Any of y'all? Yeah. Prayers before bedtime, grace around the table. So when we prayed at bedtime, our kind of model that my parents taught me is you pray for the members of your family. So God bless mom, God bless dad. Sometimes I would try to ask for God to bless my sisters. You do the best you can. And I mean, I would cover the gauntlet. I mean, I would cover cousins that I hadn't seen in about 10 years or more sometimes. But then when we prayed around the dinner table, we had a prayer that just very simply that my parents taught me how to pray. God bless this food, amen. We were very functional when it came to praying and eating. We made sure that we got that out of the very, very quickly. And it was until I was maybe about 13, 14 years old that my mother, still with her hands kind of clasped in front of her, said, "Okay, you're 13. I think it's about time we can do better. We can start coming up with our own prayers." And so we think about the way that we learn how to pray. What does that look like? What faces come to mind? What words or what phrases are ingrained inside of us? Because what we realize is the way that we pray The postures, the positions, the words, the phrases, they communicate something. They communicate something about what we believe about God, and they communicate something about what we believe about ourselves. Even just today, that we repeated a prayer that has been passed on for over 2,000 years. The Lord's Prayer. That came from the very parts of the gospel that we're talking about today. In our scripture today, in the way that it fits into our lessons over the last several weeks, you might have seen a word that has been popping up time and time again. That 2 weeks ago, we talked about a certain lawyer. We talked about a certain man who helped somebody on the side of the road. And then last week, we talked about a certain village and a certain woman and Mary and Martha as Jesus dined and was hosted at their home. And today, they're in a certain place. And we're going to be talking about a certain person, but this time we're going to be talking about you. And we're going to be talking about me. Because in this certain place, it said that Jesus began to pray. And so I want to highlight one thing before we get really deep in this scripture. And this interaction that Jesus and the disciples have right from the very beginning is that the disciples noticed that Jesus was praying. There's something that communicates and testifies to the hope and the joy and the life that we have in this world when we pray. And the point is that people notice it. There's something about opening up and acknowledging a moment in communication with God that the world seems to notice that something important is happening right here. And so children, spouses, neighbors, people you sit next to at the restaurant, they notice when you pray because that moment is unlike any other communication or any other relationship in all of creation. People notice that and it speaks for itself. But the disciples, they noticed Jesus was praying. And so after he finished, they came up to him and said, "Teach us how to pray." And in almost the discipleship fashion that we sometimes like to have with our parents or our Sunday school teachers or somebody that we're trying to get to do something that we want them to do, the disciples kind of poke and prod Jesus a little bit and they say, "Well, John the Baptist teaches his disciples how to pray. Can you teach us how to pray as well?" And so he begins to share these phrases, these lines, to help guide prayer, not only for the disciples, but what would become what we know of today as the Lord's Prayer. "Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread and forgive us our sins as we forgive everyone indebted to us. And do not bring us to the time of trial." And so in one sense, you can say that Jesus was teaching them some phrases, some forms, or a model for all of us to pray, which has been passed on. But even more than that, as the disciples came to ask Jesus how to pray, the lesson that they got was how to get to know the one that we're praying to. And so Jesus began to share a couple comparisons, a couple examples. And in all honesty, they're terrible examples. But they're meant to be bad examples. It's called comparison from the lesser to the greater. And so Jesus kind of outlines these scenarios. And he says, imagine that you came banging on your neighbor's door at midnight, in the dead of the night, after all the household had gone asleep. And you keep banging and you keep knocking and demanding 3 loaves of bread for this friend that has just suddenly arrived in the middle of the night. But your neighbor does not want to answer the door, does not want to wake up. You are disturbing him. They have already shut down for the night. They are ready to sleep. But you persist in banging on the door. So finally, you will rouse them from the bed to come and to answer your request. And so the lesser is the annoyed neighbor. But Jesus says, if even an annoyed neighbor will listen and open the door when you knock and try to give you what you need, how much more, how much greater will the Father, will God himself come and be so excited to open the door, to answer you, to be there with you, even at the most inconvenient moments that you can imagine. Ask, and it shall be given. Knock, and the door shall be opened to you. And he shares these comparisons and these examples of a parent with a child, that if the child asked for one thing, who would give them something worse if not the thing that they asked for to begin with? Well, for every dad in the room that likes to pull pranks, I know exactly the answer to that question. I give my kids things they don't want all the time. But Jesus says, if we are willing even just to give the simple requests that a child has, how much greater, how much more is our Father in heaven willing to pour out the whole riches of salvation and glory and his gifts upon us? And so the true lesson is, here is a way that you can pray, but the depth of the lesson is, here's the character and the nature of the God that you are praying to. Teaching us that so often we focus on the words that we're saying. We're focusing on the moments that we're praying. And Jesus said it is so much more than what we make it. The prayer is this relationship. It's this communion with God. It is the original language of all creation, and every single one of us speak it. And God is so desperate to speak it back to us, to have that community with us, to have that relationship with us. And God is so faithful to answer and to arrive and to seek and to find and to open and to knock and to be there for us every single time we come talking, we come looking, we come asking, and we come seeking. The very character and the nature of God is to be present with us. When we talk about prayer, the temptation is to make prayer something that it isn't. We shape prayer and we think about prayer in the way that we look at the world, the way that we look at every relationship that we have in the world. And oftentimes we feel as if God doesn't hear our prayers, or we feel as if God isn't interested in our prayers. And part of the reason I think that we feel that way is oftentimes that's how we feel about the world, and we feel about others as well. That if nobody else hears me, and if nobody else sees me, and if nobody else can heal me, why in the world would I think that God can hear me, or heal me, or want to be with me? Or another temptation is for us to think of prayer as an economic transaction. For us to say, if I am faithful to raise the request, then surely God is faithful enough to answer the request. Implying that we move first, and then God replies. But Jesus is teaching us a much different lesson about prayer. He is teaching us that the words that we pray do not matter as much as we think that they do. In fact, the prayers that God is answering, and the prayers that God is swirling around, and the doors that God is opening, he is moving and working long before we have ever shaped the words of the prayers that we are praying. And so the requests that we were making to God, God knows those, and God is moving those, and God is answering those long before we have ever realized that we need to ask them. That God is moving in this world in a way that we respond out of the deep parts of our soul and our spirit. And in the moment that God held us in the palm of his hand, and he wove us, and he breathed life into us, and he set us in this way, that the original language of prayer was to be in community with each and every one of us. We pray with our souls, we pray with our hearts, and we pray with our spirits. And God's answer every single time is to already be there. Now, I have to confess that as one of your pastors, as a person of faith myself, just as Arthur, I don't have all the answers to prayer. I don't know entirely how prayer works. In some of the jobs that I've had as a hospital chaplain, where 35, 40 people in a day that I prayed with on the worst day of their lives, it seemed as if some prayers got answered, and it seemed as if some prayers didn't. And the only lesson that I drew from that was to pray anyway, and to keep praying. And to pray for those desires of your heart, and to pray from the depth of your soul and your heart, because God has promised He is already there. Because the truth of the matter is every opportunity I have had to pray, or every opportunity that I have had to pray for somebody or with somebody, God was present before those words were ever written. God was present when those words were being spoken, and God was present long after we ever said amen. And so what comes after prayer? The simple answer is to say, amen. Let it be so. But the true answer is what comes after our prayer is God's amen. As God is in agreement with every desire of our heart and soul to draw closer to Him for His hope, His healing, and His presence. And regardless of the posture or the words or the prayers that we lift up, that is God's prayer for us. If we notice that the disciples came to Jesus when Jesus was praying, that before Jesus was arrested and crucified, Jesus prayed for us. God prays in agreement with each and every one of us. And God's agreement and God's amen is eternal and everlasting and always a prayer for each and every one of us. Will you pray with me this morning? Almighty and precious God, we do give you thanks. We give you thanks for something so mysterious as prayer. Because in our efforts to make it something that it isn't, you insist on keeping it exactly what it is, a communion, a relationship, and an opportunity to be with us. Allow us, Lord, to open up our hearts and our souls, to pray from the deep hurts, to pray from the pain, to pray from the moments where we do not know what to even pray, but to open ourselves up to your love and your grace, to your healing and your hope, to be willing to be filled up with such things that we might be poured out as an help to some of the answer to the prayers that are being prayed around us. And so, Lord, when we ask you to teach us how to pray, we ask that you pray along with us. And when we say amen, we have God's amen that goes with us. As we pray this all in Jesus' name, amen.